And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got a very special guest. This lady has been on my program several times before, but it's always a pleasure to have her. And I like to acknowledge her right away as one of God's very precious troublemakers. You know, it's always good when you make trouble in a righteous cause, and you're doing good. You know, even the Bible says don't grow weary in doing good things. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I don't see how she cannot grow weary sometimes, but maybe she stays healthy in a way that a lot of people don't. And that's what I'm going to be asking her about, how you can stay healthy. First of all, friends, you know, I don't think I've ever had a show just talking about what we're going to do today. God's medicine. God's medicine. Joyce Riley, she's a registered nurse, and she's had an organization dedicated to telling the truth about medical things, as well as just patriotic topics, called the Power Hour. And we're going to tell you how to get a hold of the Power Hour. In fact, the powermall.com, like a shopping mall, the powermall.com is her website. She sells many different things for your health there. And you'll want to go there and because when you help Joyce Riley, you're helping yourself. And you're helping to continue her Power Hour radio show going across the world, really, on the Genesis Radio Network. Now, let me just say right away that I think health is an important matter. Now, I realize we all have to die sometime. Yes, that's right. You and I are going to die. From the moment we came into the world, we were destined to die. But, you know, even the Bible says that the body is the temple of the living God for a Christian. In other words, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And I think it is abuse of the at least the physical temple of God. I mean, you wouldn't go into a church sanctuary and just trash it up, garbage it out, would you? No. You'd out of respect, you'd take care of it. Well, our bodies are temples of the living God. In fact, we are the living stones that God has constructed into the house of God here on earth. So why would you want to garbage it up, dirty it up, or make it unhealthy? You wouldn't want an unhealthy environment, as you said in the pew on Sunday or Saturday, whatever is the case, listening to the pastor and participating in church, would you? How'd you like piles of trash on the floor? So it's sort of like that in a way. But I'm going to ask Joyce Riley. Maybe she thinks I'm way off base here. Joyce Riley, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is head of an organization that was founded some years ago when the government was lying about the Persian Gulf syndrome. And they were claiming, you know, that our troops that went over and fought against Saddam Hussein the first go around under Senior Bush, that nothing was really wrong with them. It was all in their heads, et cetera. And Joyce Riley went to bat for the troops. She supported the troops, as she always does. She supports the little people, the average soldier, the average airman, and so forth. Now, I have special love for her because she was a flight nurse in the Air Force, and she spent some time doing that. So she contributed to our nation as a flight nurse in the Air Force. She also became quite well-known because, well, as I did tell you, she was a troublemaker. And you remember a infamous, horrible case in Bexar County Hospital. I'll let her tell you about that. But she was a nurse. She was the whistleblower. She says it changed her life. Something very terrible happened in San Antonio in the establishment medical system. I'm going to ask Joyce to tell you about that. Also, she was a whistleblower, and she let people that didn't want others to know, she let people know about an abortion that was committed in a Catholic hospital. And that supposedly is a no-no, and she let it be known, and that probably got her in a little hot water. Hey, Joyce Riley, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thank you. It is my pleasure. Now, from your introduction, you said back when the government was lying about the Gulf War illness. From what you said, do I understand they're not lying anymore?
Yeah, listen, I like your scientific approach. I didn't mean that. I'm glad you're keeping us straight. Well, that's a good question, though. Are they still lying about that?
Oh, absolutely. It's even worse with Gulf War II now, with Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. It's in spades what it was before. It's even, I don't know, 10 times or 100 times worse. And I know we'll probably be talking about that at your seminar also, but just to let everybody know that the situation with the Gulf War veterans returning from 2003 on is just unbelievable. There's over a million of them that have gone to the VA now and said, I'm sick, I need help. And, of course, the VA says, we're too busy, we got too many sick people, thank you very much. And then they go home and commit suicide or homicides, which are increasing. So, no, the government is still lying about it. They cannot, Tex, at this point, tell the truth about the Gulf War illness. There's just no way they can ever come forward with the reality of what has really taken place there. And it's unfortunate. These people are going to suffer greatly when they return.
All right. Now, this is something that to me is, I have to get a little angry. You know, I was trying to be, now see there, you're making me angry. I was trying to be nice on this program talking healthcare, but now you really got my dander up because you're telling too much truth here. But Joyce, Obama, in fact, this very day, they're having this medical, summit conference, Republicans meeting with Obama. Now, Obama wants to give 35 million more people free health care. Get away from the fact that it'll break the Bank of America, break our pocketbooks, and our taxes will go up sky high. But if they cannot give adequate care to men and women who serve this nation in uniform, if the VA is a medical care system is, as you say, a shambles, how are we going to give 35 million? How are we going to afford? How are we even going to be able to set up a system to give 35 million other people free medical care in America?
Well, they can, and we all know that. They can just print up more money until we implode, and that's exactly what's going to happen. But we've got to keep this facade going that we can do it, just like they keep the facade of the VA going. People don't realize why we have a VA hospital. You would think that we would have TRICARE, HMO, something where the troops could go to and get care. Why do they limit to these real expensive VA hospitals? Because they want to take specific good care of the veterans? No. They've got to hide all the bodies. They've got to hide all the diseases, the problems of these troops. They've got to, any experiments that have gone on in the military are tracked through the VA system. So we have to have a VA system. If it was the most expensive system in the world, we still have to keep it going, Tex, because that's where we keep all the secrets. There and, Bethesda and a few other places, Walter Reed, we've got to keep the secrets away from the people of why these veterans are sick, why they're dying, and also control the facts and figures. Because if you can rightfully say, well, we only have two Gulf War veterans in the VA hospital today, so that shows that there's not a big problem with Gulf War veterans, which is what they used to do at the Houston VA. But what people didn't know is they had a regulation at the Houston VA that said only two Gulf War veterans may be allowed in this hospital on an inpatient basis at one time. I mean, that's criminal. And I talked to the administrator about that, and I said to him one day when I was visiting there, I said to him, he was the assistant administrator of the entire hospital, and I said, sir, why is it that you have this capitation or limit of the number of Gulf War veterans that can be in here? And he said, well, for obvious reasons, they don't want it to look like the Gulf War veterans were sick. And I said, how do you sleep at night? How do you live with this? And he said, look, I'll tell you, I've got three kids in college right now. And I said, do you sleep at night? I said, the whole lie of the fact that there is no Gulf War veteran, nobody's really sick, they just all got mental problems. Well, they've got mental problems because they've been turned aside, told they don't have a physical problem, they've had to live with it for years and years and years, and now they're dying off. And let me just give you an example. Out of the 700,000 troops that served in Operation Desert Storm, which many people weren't even born then to know about it, but in 1991, there was Desert Storm, which had 700,000 troops that were deployed to the Middle East. Out of those 700,000 troops, 140 of them died. Now, half of those were from friendly fire. In other words, we killed our own men. But most people don't know that half were killed with friendly fire of the 140 or 160, whichever figure you use. So in the first Gulf War, we lost, let's say, 160 people. As of right now, there are over 500,000 people sick with Gulf War illness out of those 700,000. Now, wait a minute. If only those many died during the war, 160, why do we have so many times that now sick? Because of the illnesses, the biologicals, chemicals, etc. And we don't need to go into all of that except for the fact that the Department of Defense lied about them being sick. So when they returned back to the United States and they went to the VA and they said, I'm sick, just like I did, I was told, oh, I'm sorry, you are a reservist. You can't even go to the VA hospital. How many people know that reservists and guardsmen can't go to a VA hospital? They're not told that until you go and you need it. Well, then you had all these troops returning. They didn't want to treat them for a real illness because if they did, that would make it look like they had a real illness. So what they did was they put them on Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, any of the SSRI antidepressant drugs, and told everybody they had a mental health problem. They even went so far as the first thing they would do when you went into that VA hospital is they gave you a psychological evaluation. And guess what? They always found something wrong. For instance, one recruiter that I knew who was a Marine, been in 20 years, he had an incontinence problem. He literally could not hold his urine any longer, and it was a result of the biological and chemicals, primarily the chemicals, that he had experienced during the Gulf War. So he literally would soil himself at work. Here's a Marine, very proud of who he was and what he was, and he had these problems. Well, they did a psychological evaluation on him, put him through all these tests, and said, well, have you ever been depressed? And he said, yeah, one time when my mom died when I was 12 years of age, I was kind of depressed. And he said, and they said, that's your diagnosis. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, secondary to your mother's death. So that has nothing to do with the military, so therefore, A, you're out of the military, B, no retirement, and no money, no disability. So, I mean, he was just shy of his 20 years, which they did that to a lot of people, got him out before they're 20. So this is the kind of thing that we've seen from the first Gulf War, which is only magnified now with the use of depleted uranium, which is not depleted. It is pure radiation these people are being experiencing in the Middle East. And now they're coming back and giving birth to babies that are deformed and horrible, horrible situations. The world has no idea what has happened to them because the VA and the DOD can keep all the secrets. And that's the problem. They keep the secrets.
Seems to me, too, because on the battlefield, you know, they say the immediate attention giving these people from these roadside bomb attacks and such means that more live than die. Because they get more, rapid attention. But that means we have many more thousands, tens of thousands perhaps, coming back without limbs, doesn't it?
Oh, it's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. To go to Walter Reed in Washington has got to be one of the most depressing things in the world to have to see what has happened to these troops. Yeah, they live, and they live questionable lives after that. Because though you may see some nice, slick little programs on CNN about how well we love our troops, and, of course, on Memorial Day, they make it look like everybody is glad that they were, you know, disabled, it's not that way. They don't get that kind of help. You know, you want to go serve your country, get injured, or get sick from biologicals and chemicals, and then you come home, and you'll find out the true meaning of being an army of one, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I know what's...
are basically abandoned.
Well, you know... They use such statistics, and they'll show some guy that, hey, look, he runs tracks. He lost both of his legs, but he runs in track meets. See there? What's the matter with you, soldier? Why can't you be running track? Of course, those are really the exceptions, and I praise God for them, but it's sort of like my daughter who had esophageal cancer and died a few years ago when we took her to the cancer clinics, in fact, the largest and, you know, the most famous in the world there in Houston, Texas. The question that my daughter had for the cancer specialist there at MD Anderson Hospital was, and by the way, they gave her a diagnosis of basically zero. You know, she had no possibility of living.
Oh, my.
And at that time, she looked healthy. You know, she there was nothing that you could see on the outside, but she did have advanced esophageal and stomach cancer. She asked the doctor, who's one of the top guys in the world, well, you know, I see things like on TV. Who's the bicyclist, Lance Armstrong?
Uh-huh.
You know, I see he pulled out of it. Isn't that a possibility? You know, he was in the hospital. He took chemo. And the doctor looked at her and said, he didn't have the kind of cancer you have. He had the kind of cancer that was curable. And it really was not as big a miracle as the international press made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I wasn't very proud of Lance Armstrong, and I'm glad he did what he did. And he's in Austinite, by the way. But the point about it is, it's like you're saying, even the best hospital in the world had nothing to do with my daughter, other than saying, hey, could we enroll you in a study?
Oh, yeah.
You know, to maybe help future cases. But hey, you know, that's okay. She's in the arms of God. Now, let me tell you why I wanted to talk to you on this program. We got into this subject. It is vitally important. Maybe we can do a whole program on it. But I want to talk to you about God's medicine. And I have a specific reason why, Joyce. My wife, Wanda, has had cancer 4 times.
Oh, my.
Okay? I mean, the devil keeps trying to throw it on her, right? She's really sort of the bionic woman. I'll have to tell you, she's in better shape than me, even after that. She's had ovarian cancer twice. Once they took out the mass, and it came back. Okay? Ovarian cancer.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. She had ovarian cancer twice. She had cancer in one breast and had that removed with mastectomy. A year later, she had cancer in the other breast and had that removed. So we have a total of 4 cancers, not counting, you know, various skin, you know, cancers and things like that. And that, by the way, she's had 3 hip replacements and 1 full shoulder replacement. And she is still in great shape. She outdoes me.
She is.
Now, one of the things that the doctors didn't tell us was about natural things. But I tell you, I got on the internet and I did all the research and I worked night and day. And I believe strongly that Wanda's alive now from the cancer because of the natural things she took. How do you feel about that? In other words, you know, we went to see the doctors. Certainly we did everything we could for her. And by the way, she hasn't had cancer now. Was it, Jerry, 3 years, 4 years? Yeah, 3 or 4 years now, totally cancer free. But, I mean, you know, she was complaining to me about all the vitamins and herbs she was having to take.
You did a wonderful thing to her. You know, what I would have to ask is, how many of those doctors told you the reason why she was getting all those cancers and what she needed to do to stop getting those cancers? Did they?
No. They just say, okay, you've got cancer. You need chemo or radiation. Of course, she didn't take radiation. You need chemo, and that's the end of it. No, they don't tell you why it happened. They don't tell you how to really prevent it happening. And by the way, Wanda is not obese. She's in perfect shape.
Oh, yeah.
And she takes care of herself. She doesn't eat junk. But, you know, the point is, to answer your question, no, nothing. Just let's see what we can do to help you get rid of this. But never, you know, when we asked her particular doctor, who's one of the best in Austin and best in Texas, really, what vitamins and herbs should we be taking? Oh, don't listen to that junk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not worthwhile. They're of no value whatsoever. You know, he pushed chemo, which of course probably cost $200,000 or $300,000. So, and by the way, the chemo that they wanted her to take, she did finally take chemo on a limited basis. But interestingly enough, I did research on that particular chemo agent. Come to find out, it came from a plant.
Oh, vincristine, yes.
It was a natural, you know. So in other words, the doctor didn't tell her, you know, he was knocking natural substances. And then come to find out that what the chemo agent that they wanted to give her and get all the money for came from a plant.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a physician told me, who's in pharmacology, that about 80 to 90% of all of the drugs have a plant basis. But because you cannot patent a plant, they have to add chemicals to it, and the chemicals that they add to it are what cause the damage usually. Now, you know, I got my ox gored in the Gulf War. I became ill, and I want to go back to Wanda's situation in just a second, but I was one of those traditional nurses. Let me just give you a little bit of my background, because first off the bat, I was a director of nursing when I was 27 years of age, and I had an entire responsibility of a hospital on my shoulders. I was the nurse that gave the electroshock treatments. Mm. I went in with that little machine with a doctor. We zapped somebody's brain so they couldn't even remember what their name was, and I thought I was doing the greatest thing in medicine. I was doing God's work. I was doing the only thing the doctor said that we could do for this person. Then I went on. I was a chemo nurse later on. I was a certified chemo nurse. Then I was doing heart, lung, liver, kidney transplant work at Texas Heart Institute in Houston. Worked with DeBakey, worked with Cooley, the best in the business. The thought was, you know, just you can't take care of the heart, the lung, the liver, the kidney, just give them a new one. And so I got involved. I was in the belly of the beast of medicine. And it turned my life around when I found out that there was never one case that was ever cured, nor was there any reason ever addressed as to why they had the problem in the first place. So we would just take somebody's liver out, give them a new one. It would cost $1.5 million to do that. And they would sometimes end up having DTs on the table, delirium tremens on the table, because they were alcoholics. But that was no mind. You know, the issue wasn't quit drinking. The issue was, we'll give you another liver. So I saw this very expensive medicine happening. And these were people that didn't take care of themselves, whereas Wanda did. Now, obviously, there was something there that was causing Wanda's cancer. And many times, we have to go back and really look very hard, I found out, at what that causation agent is. I myself, of course, got real sick after the Gulf War. And I was given 10 vaccines in one day. I couldn't walk. I couldn't function. I was still trying to carry out my daily existence, and it was very, very difficult. And I had what was called demyelination of 5 spots on my brain and spinal cord, which meant that my brain and spinal cord was being attacked by whatever it was. We now know pretty much what it was, but it was almost like multiple sclerosis. So that's where I had my epiphany. I had to fight my way back and say, okay, there is nothing medicine has to offer me. I know probably why this happened, and it had to do with vaccines, which I will never take another vaccine as long as I live, nor will I ever give a vaccine ever again. I've been a nurse for 35 years. I will never, ever, ever put anything, inject anything into anybody's body like that again. And so I had to start from scratch. I knew nothing about herbal medicine. I was probably like you, but I didn't even have the internet then. And after 1993, I'd been hospitalized a couple of times, and they told me it must be a mental problem because we can't find anything. Then one day I had this event take place where I lost the use of my legs, and they saw that it wasn't in my mind. It was in my body, and it was inside my spinal cord, and we had to get to the bottom of that. Well, after I decided I'm going to beat this thing, and I've got to find out why, because the pain I'm enduring is just too horrible. Well, I began this search, and I found things that I never heard of before. Essiac tea. What is Essiac tea? It is a tea that is given in Canada by a lot of herbalists, and people seem to get over cancer. Well, it's spelled Essiac. I began doing that. Not that it, I figured if it would work for cancer, it would work for other things. I found I underwent ozone therapy, and I started to see a turn for the better. I was getting better. All of a sudden, things were changing. So now I was looking at things that God created versus things that man created. So there's where I learned about God's medicine versus man's medicine. Man's medicine is chemical in nature, compounds in nature. God's medicine is the thing he created in the first place. And, you know, he says in Genesis 1:29, you know, basically I give you the leaves, the herbs, everything that he says. And in Revelation it says, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. That's Revelation 22:2. That just like shocked me. Oh my goodness. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Olive leaf, all kinds of leaves and herbs. There was our answer. So I realized then that God had a message in Scripture about how we're supposed to eat also. And that's when my life changed, when I found out I was a human garbage can. I mean, I would eat anything. The doctors told me at the hospital, just eat anything. You know, at Texas Heart Institute in Houston and St. Luke's Hospital and Texas Children's Hospital, which are all in the same building, they're great big buildings, they're all connected together, at the base of all of them, Tex, is a great big McDonald's restaurant where the doctors all go for lunch. And why do they have a McDonald's restaurant in Texas Children's Hospital? Because the children don't want to eat the hospital food. So the mothers who feel sorry for their poor children go down there and get food that only makes them sicker. But I went to Scripture, and I said, okay, I'm going to look in Scripture, and we don't have time to go into all of that today, but to find out what was it that Scripture said we were supposed to be eating. And, of course, I feel a lot of that comes from Leviticus. So I follow what's called a Levitical diet. You can go to Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and it deals with those issues. But a Levitical diet is basically one that does not eat shellfish, does not eat pork, and there's some limits put on the items that you eat that are of animals. Well, I went back and found out even more about the fact that if you really have a health challenge, it's best to have no animal products whatsoever. And the reason being, the animal products that we have today are deadly. They've got hormones in them, they've got preservatives in them, they've got drugs in them, they've got everything you can imagine in them. And so Leviticus 11:44 said, "For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy. And therefore come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." That's 2 Corinthians 6:16-17. So I began to look at what the dietary laws were by Scripture. There's a book written by Dr. Gordon Tesler, called The Genesis Diet. And that's he goes into it completely on what we should be using. Well, then I had some epiphanies also in medicine. And I want to tell you quickly that the reason I am mentioning the situation in San Antonio at Bexar County Hospital is because that changed my life forever when I found out that there were babies dying at a hospital, Bexar County Hospital, in 1983, and I was there at the time. This nurse that was nobody knew why the babies were dying. So the hospital did a bunch of phony surveys and studies to make it look like it was the water. They made it look like, oh, we brought in a specialist and it was the water in the neonatal unit. Well, no, it was no water in the neonatal unit, I guarantee you. Because I was doing utilization review there, and my job was to go in and check on all the people that were receiving government funding and see if they were getting appropriate medical care. Well, I all of a sudden see that every baby that was dying died on one shift, on the 3-11 shift. And I said, whoa, this narrows it down. If I'm smart enough to pick this up, then all these attorneys and detectives and investigators they've had working on this should have figured this one out. And then I looked, and I got the charts of all the dead babies, and every one of them had the same nurse. And that's when I began to get really scared, because I said, oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to find something. Well, I did. Lo and behold, like we all do, we find something, then we realize, oh, here is the truth. And we run to someone that we respect, and we're told, if you tell anyone, you will be fired. And I said, what? I went to my boss at utilization review, Mr. White, and he said, if you tell a soul, you'll be sued for slander and you'll be fired. I said, wait a minute. I just figured out who's killing babies here. You want me to be quiet? You would think you would call the attorney general's office or the prosecutor's office and get on this. They didn't. This was like the biggest, I can't believe it, in my whole life. 27 years old, and I'm now thinking, wait a minute, something is really wrong here.
I tell you what, hold on just a minute. We're going to find out what was wrong and what you did to correct it and the final result when we come back, okay? My guest today is Joyce Riley. She's a registered nurse of many years, longstanding, a great woman, a patriot, and you're listening to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? This is Tex Mars. You know, Joyce Riley is going to be with us here in Austin, Texas for our Liberty and Truth Conference. And you are invited. And I'll be insulted if you don't come because I want to shake your hand. I might even, who knows, I might hug your neck. There have been a few guys and gals that I just reached over and just hugged their neck and maybe surprised them a little bit, especially if they came from some background, you know, where their family was very stiff or something. Well, we do that here in the state of Texas. We're hospitable. So, but I don't mean to scare you off now. Maybe if you don't want me to, I won't hug your neck. I won't even shake your hand. Just come and listen to the speakers then, okay? And you can avoid Tex-Mars. But I'm going to be one of the speakers, probably the least able of all the speakers. Joyce Riley is going to be talking about the topic today that we're just barely touching, you know, what they call it, the tip of the iceberg. She's going to talk about God's medicine, the answer to your health needs. Hey, she might save your life. And I pray that she will have a table or a booth with some of the things that she offers. And of course, she, as I mentioned to you, you can go on thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com, or thepowerhour.com to her website, and she offers many of these things, including some wonderful health items. She has a whole, it's like a catalog online, and so you'll want to go there. But she's going to be right in person. You'll be able to meet her. She's a precious lady, very knowledgeable on many subjects, but I have asked her to talk on this God's medicine topic at the conference. Meanwhile, you're going to have my good friend Michael Collins Piper as a guest. He's going to talk about the power of Zionist Judaism and how it is the central political issue of our time. Pat Shannon, he used to be with Media Bypass magazine, and now he's with the American Free Press. Mother, this conference is co-sponsored by the American Free Press, a great patriotic newspaper. And so that's why we're going to have Michael Collins Piper. He's an investigative reporter for them as well as an author. He wrote The New Babylon, Dirty Secrets, and many other books. Mark Anderson is going to be there, and he's going to tell you a little bit about money, the media, the money system, and what's happening there. And boy, isn't that an interesting? Well, I could talk all about that right now. By the way, Pat Shannon has done a lot of research on assassinations and cover-ups. And I'm going to put him on the spot. I like to, because Pat, he's a nice guy, and he's really quite brilliant. And I'm going to ask him about Obama. You know, Alex Jones, a good friend of mine, says that he believes that there might be an assassination attempt on Barack Obama's life. And they'll blame it, of course, on we domestic terrorists. Oh, you know, I mean, the Patriot movement, the Tea Party people or whatever. But that's what Jones thinks. And I'm going to ask Pat Shannon, what about that? Could there be an assassination attempt, maybe even a fake one or a real one? If he doesn't play along, although I think he's playing along quite smoothly. And I'm talking about Barack Obama with the elitist agenda. Anyway, those are the speakers. And then finally, you know, sort of at the caboose is Tex-Mars. And I have a very special topic, chaos in America. Chaos in America. Friends, I think we're riding the Titanic. But, you know, we know what happened to the Titanic now. But this is an entirely different ship, but it's strikingly similar, eerily alike to what happened with the great Titanic. That was the unsinkable ship, you know. But boy, life was lost there. Now America is in chaos. Is God going to ever bless America again? Well, maybe the question is America blessing God? You know, I mean, God is a jealous God. You can't kick him or try to. You can't do it even if you tried. But you can't blaspheme God. You can't do and say horrible things about him. You can't really besmirch his character and insult his sense of justice and expect to be blessed. Is America doing that? Why are we in chaos and how bad is it going to get? That's my topic. Okay, Liberty and Truth Conference, April the 10th, 2010. It's only $50. Hey, we're going to pay for your meal. $50 and we pay for the meal. You can't beat that. We've arranged for the airport Hilton, right at the airport in Austin, Texas. You can drive, of course, or fly in. But we have special rates, $99 plus taxes and fees per night at the Hilton. It's a beautiful hotel. Used to be 12th Air Force Headquarters Building, Bergstrom Air Force Base. They call it the Giant Donut. You talk about the Pentagon, but this was famous in Texas, the Round Building. And they totally renovated it, made it into a hotel, the Hilton chain did. And that's where we're going to have our conference, and that's where you can stay. But there are many other hotels. Go online at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. We have a list of all the various hotels. There's everything from, I don't know, Motel 6 to Best Western. So, you know, you stay anywhere you want to. Comfort Inn Suites, I think, down the road. There's a Denny's restaurant, or you can eat at the Airport Hilton. But remember, the day of the conference, it's a Saturday all-day conference, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with catered lunch, okay? But for breakfast or and then for the dinner meal, you might go to down to Denny's, which is only about a mile down the street, or you can eat right there at the hotel. They have a fabulous restaurant, understand. The big thing, though, is the speakers. And, friends, this is an urgent matter. America is in a terrible predicament. These are perilous times. And I think you need every advantage you can. Information. And you need God's medicine. And so, let's return to our regular program. I want to mention, before I reintroduce Joyce Riley to you again, that our phone number here, if you'd like more information, or if you'd like to reserve your spot now, because I think we only have a limited number of people that can come to this conference. And after that, wow, it's over with, okay? So please, space is limited, reserve your spot now. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. By the way, you can also go online at powerofprophecy.com. Big old ad there. Click onto it and it'll take you. Has pictures. You can see how pretty Joyce Riley is and how just mean and ugly and just ornery I look. By looking at the pictures, they're online, okay? All right, well, you don't have to pay too much attention to the pictures, but just the information, all right? Now let's return. My good friend, Joyce Riley, she's with me. Hey, Joyce, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. By the way, I want to just put a plug in for your wife, Wanda. Yes, you did marry up. She is a wonderful human being, and I look forward to seeing her again, and I'll be the first in line to get one of your hugs.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joyce, Wanda loves it that you said that I married up. I like that's a good term. You know, I've been going around. I told Jerry over here, he was laughing the last time we were on together. I was on your program and you said that and Jerry started laughing. And I said at break time, I said, quit laughing. You married up too, Jerry. So he got it, but he did. He married a precious girl in Leslie.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. We enjoy it. Kidding around here. Jerry's been with us a long time. He understands. Yeah, he understands. We're not really bad at all. Now, Joyce, listen, I love you because you really care. You cared about the veterans. You care about veterans. Back to this case with this nurse that all these babies, and I want to know how many, died on her shift, and you discovered it. You go to the hospital administrator, and they're like, you shut up, Joyce. Don't tell anybody. What was that all about?
Okay, what happened was, what I did not know at the time, Tex, is they knew he was doing it.
Mm.
Now that's going to be a shock to people, and it was a shock to me. But I did not know this at the time. So here I am going to the board of directors. I am going to the Health Science Center. Now this is the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. Going to the administrators, the director of nursing, everyone saying, this woman's doing it. I know it. I can prove it. And they're saying, no, do not say that. You're going to be fired. That's not true. Well, one of the other nurses that I had that I shared an office with, she was a Christian, and her husband was a resident there, a physician at the hospital. And she and I both knew that it was going on, and she had found out the same thing. So she started forward, and she tried to get them to understand it, and she got almost fired also. Well, I was not fired at the time, but all of a sudden they hired me away for another job, and I got a director of nursing job. I moved away. Well, about 2 years later, and I kept telling everyone, doing everything I knew to do to talk about this, but I thought, well, they know at the hospital, so, you know, just like going up against the government, going up against the Department of Defense, going up against anyone, I thought, well, they know. So I then went to become a director of nursing in another hospital, and I just went on with my life. I tried to pick up the pieces, and even though I knew this was going on, well, the babies continued to die.
Was she still working there?
No, not at this time. She's at Gatesville Prison, and I'll tell you the rest of it.
No. I mean, at the time.
Oh, yeah, she's living there. She's working.
But after you reported her, Did they keep her on the job? Did they at least suspend her or fire her?
No, nothing. She continued. My. And I'll tell you why in a second. But then I, one day I was listening to the news. I remember Channel 5 in Houston, and I fell to my knees. And the people that were in the room with me, I had some family there at the time, and I fell to my knees and I began crying. And they said, "What's the matter?" Because the news was the grand jury has just convened in San Antonio, Bexar County, Texas, and Jeanine Jones has been found guilty of one of the most heinous murder cases in San Antonio. And I began to cry, and they said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Because I'm at fault. There's something else I could have done. I knew this was going on, and I tried to stop it, but I didn't know how." And so I felt at that time, Tex, I'll be real honest with you, I had blood on my hands. I felt horrible. Well, I immediately called the attorney handling the case, the plaintiff's cases at the hospital, and said, "I work there. I know some things that I think you need to know." He told me to come out. It was a Friday night. It was dark Friday night, and he said, "I want you at my office immediately."
Now, this was the hospital's attorney or the district attorney?
No. It was the plaintiff's attorney. The hospital wouldn't listen to me. And I was afraid that, you know, they knew something, and
this
for
was
some
the
reason this they
was
had
the,
not listened hold it, to did what I
hear
I
you,
had to say.
Did I hear you right? This is the prosecuting attorney.
Right. So okay, I went to the plaintiff's attorney who was handling the baby death cases of the babies that had died at that hospital. In other words, he was representing the parents of the dead babies.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that before all this happened, before I went to the attorney, one day I went to work, and the statement was made, "You better hide the succinylcholine. Jeanine Jones is on duty tonight." Succinylcholine is curare. That's poison-tipped darts. They hit you with that, and you can't breathe. You just die. You can't breathe. You know what you're doing. Your mind is working, but you can't breathe. And that's one of the things that she had been using. Well, the nurses knew enough. Everybody knew it by that time that they were saying, "Lock up the succinylcholine." Well, then another time I went to work, and I heard that, you know, and I was complaining to administration that I know this nurse is killing these babies. I know she is the one responsible. And the statement was made, "They're just Medicaid babies anyway."
Of the poor, though. Yeah.
They're just Medicaid babies.
Yeah. Welfare type babies. So
that's right. That's right.
Their life was devalued. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, the story, you know, comes to a halt when she is then found indicted by the grand jury. I go to work as a nurse investigator on the case, and I begin to investigate every one of the documents, records, everything I could get my hands on for this attorney. Well, as a result, what we learned and what happened in the case is that she was put in prison. She's serving, it's still in Gatesville, Texas. She's serving a life sentence for the death of one child and injury to another. And I know why this was done the way it was done, which I'm not in favor of, obviously, but she was only found guilty of one death. She killed, I know, at least 60 babies, because I've got the records. But obviously, there are times when deals are made, things happen, and anyway, she was only found guilty of one child's death.
I remember seeing her on TV when she was found guilty. You know, she just seemed like a cold person.
She's just very cold person.
You know,
very cold.
You talk about people who have no souls.
Yep. The sad part, though, is that, you know, the case went away. They changed the name of the hospital to Medical Center Hospital so that everybody would forget the bad name there and what happened, but nobody ever really looked into the situation and really investigated how that was allowed to happen. Now, going back to what I told you earlier, that the hospital knew it all along, they did. We found a memo that they knew it was her, but they were trying to get her out of the ICU quietly so there wouldn't be any lawsuits.
Mm.
That's how my life turned around, to find out that healthcare is not exactly what it is, what we think it is. And at the meeting, I'm going to share with the listeners in Austin about how I was fired because I reported an abortion that was done by mistake in a Catholic hospital. And I'm going to tell where it happened and everything about it because that changed my life also. As a result of, if you speak out and if you stand up for the truth, you're not going to have a very long work tenure in some places. Unfortunately, it's really sad, but that's the truth. But all of this brought me then to the Gulf War in 91 when I became so extremely ill, wanted to find a way out of this illness, and then found God's medicine. And I know we're not going to be able to touch on it, but I will be touching on it at the meeting in Austin, because people need to understand that there are scriptural things that we're supposed to do. There are ways that we're supposed to take care of our bodies, and God has given us every single thing we need. Let me give you an example. If I were to say to you, now everybody pretty much has heard of pneumonia, or Klebsiella pneumonia. Klebsiella pneumoniae is what causes pneumonia, the bacteria that causes pneumonia. What if I were to tell you that there is an herb that's been tested in the Petri dish to kill Klebsiella pneumoniae? You probably would be surprised. And especially when I told you that it is basil will kill pneumonia. And if you take it live and you eat God's food, which is live food, basil, the herb basil has been shown to kill that. And I'm going to bring a list that was done at Georgetown University, and it appeared in the Quarterly Review of Biology, that shows all of the bacteria that are killed by which herbs and which spices. In fact, dill has a very good reason. God gave us dill for a reason. So when I learned about these spices, and I realized that when the people in the 1800s that lived in the hot climates, you know, when they live in South America or Africa, they don't have any way to keep their food fresh. Well, God gave us the answer, and it was spices, because spices kill the bacteria. I had an aha experience at about 55 years of age when I learned that God is so incredibly brilliant, that Yahweh God is so brilliant, that he gave us these spices to combine together and to use, and that's why the people in the southern countries or the hotter climates utilize spices like cayenne, cilantro. All of these items kill the bacteria in that area. God didn't give us those spices just to taste good. That was a secondary effect. That was the good part of it. Bacillus subtilis, which is the one very close to anthrax, is killed by cloves, of all things. Clostridium botulinum, which is food poisoning, is killed by cloves. Now, when did a doctor ever tell you that? When did they ever tell you that cinnamon will help diabetes? So when I learned all of these things, I didn't learn it just from a standpoint of some story that somebody said or some wives' tale. I went back and got the literature and the documentation, and I'm going to bring a copy of this for everybody at the meeting because you've got to have this. It's about 11 pages of all the bacteria and all of the spices. But that's what God gave it to us for. And he said, I will give you everything that you need. I will give you everything that you need. So what did we do? We said, no, thank you. We've got Johnson & Johnson. We've got G.D. Searle. We've got, you know, all of this other stuff that man has come up with. But we didn't use what God gave us. And so Reverend Malcolmus at Hallelujah Acres, and by the way, a website that is just one of the most awesome as far as biblical healing and biblical diet, is hacres.com. It stands for Hallelujah, H-Acres, A-C-R-E-S.com. I go there all the time. And he was a reverend in the 19, and when he was 50 years old, he got colon cancer. And he started praying and praying for it to get better, and it didn't. And he went to other people and had them pray. His whole church prayed. Everybody prayed. And he began to realize, wait a minute, I'm not getting any better. And he asked the question, why do Christians get sick if we have all these promises in Scripture that we'll be well? Because we eat the same things that non-Christians eat. That's why Christians have the same amount of heart attacks as the non-Christians. Cancer, everything. So it all goes back to what we eat. And those dietary laws, I believe, play a very large role. And then eating God's food. Because God said, eat the food that I have given you. Genesis 1:29. Eat the food that I have given you. He didn't say, go mix up a whole bunch of chemicals, put it in some plastic, and call it Little Debbie Twinkie bars, and eat those. He didn't say to do that. He gave us this magnificent body, and we go and we gum it all up with this junk. Now, let's take an example. Let's say you've got a really nice car. Let's say you own a Lexus. I don't. I have a Ford, but I treat it the same way as if it was a Lexus. But let's say you had this really nice car, and you're about to run out of gas, and you don't have enough gas to get to where you're going, and the car comes to a stop, and you're out in the middle of nowhere. So what do? You've got a container of Gatorade, or you've got a container of Mountain Dew, a gallon of Mountain Dew in your car, or Dr. Pepper. Do you put that Dr. Pepper, that Mountain Dew, or that Gatorade in your car and just say, okay, just this one time, I will do it? It'll work just this one time. I'm willing to risk it. Of course it's not going to work. It's going to kill your engine. But we wouldn't do that to our cars. But we go put stuff in a microwave, which is an abomination to God's food. And I'm sorry to say that, but we put it in a microwave, food that's probably not fit to be eating in the first place. And then we eat it and we wonder, why do I have these problems? Why do all my joints hurt? Why do I walk funny? Why do I, am I not able to get down on the floor and play with my grandkids? Why do all these things happen? Because we're not eating the food. God gave us the sprouts. God, I'm not ever sproutless in my house. Sprouts are the one of the biggest things in my diet. And I've got some, I just went up right before we came on the air and watered my sprouts because I've got them going all the time. They're broccoli sprouts. They are so full of antioxidants. They are so good for you. And people don't even know how to do it. So I'm going to be bringing some sprouts to the meeting, and I'm going to show people how to grow their sprouts right there. What about something that's in every emergency room in this country? Every emergency room has something called activated charcoal. You go to any place, ask any nurse who's an ER nurse, and they got a little can of it somewhere. Now, does the doctor tell you about it? No. Does he tell you that over 3,000 items can be neutralized in your body with that little can or that spoonful of charcoal? No. Every nurse knows it. Every doctor knows it, but they don't think about even putting it in their own home. Charcoal, if you get activated charcoal, and I'm not talking about barbecue charcoal. Please do not confuse that. But we have cans of activated charcoal that we cannot even keep at the power hour because they are the greatest neutralizer in the body. If you start to get nauseated and you realize, oh, I went out to dinner, I had some food, it's not working, I feel like I'm going to get sick, you take that spoonful of charcoal in a glass of water and it will neutralize over 3,000 items. God gave it to us. And he said, here is something of mine. But what do? We use Ipecac. Ipecac is something you give children or your grandchildren in case of a poisoning. They found out Ipecac kills people. They've taken it off the market now. They're not wanting people to use it. Even the poison control centers used to tell people to use Ipecac. That was God's medicine versus man's medicine. There is only one thing in the world that will neutralize a Valium overdose in the body. Most people don't realize this because Valium isn't used that much anymore, but it was at one time. And children used to get a hold of their mom's or their dad's Valium. There is only one item in the world that will neutralize Valium, and that is God's activated charcoal. Now, he gave us things that we didn't even know we were going to run up against problems with. For instance, curcumin. Have you ever heard of the name curcumin, Tex?
Yes, that's one of the things we gave Wanda during her cancer period.
That is wonderful. You were ahead of your time. And the MD Anderson Cancer Center recently has the most studies coming out about curcumin. And if I were Wanda right now, I'd be taking three curcumin probably three times a day, or at least two of them two times a day. Now, remember, I'm not a physician. I'm not giving medical advice. This is for your educational and entertainment purposes only.
Well, you're exactly. But you are a friend. And
I'm
we
a friend.
Can just talk as a friend.
That's what I would do. I would be taking curcumin. We carry a type of curcumin that is synergistically involved with another item that God made that to make a really good, powerful curcumin. And by the way, curcumin is the orange powder that comes from turmeric, which is a spice that the Indians use in curry. So it's best, that's why God gave us those spices, and that's why the Indians don't get cancer. They use so much curry, so much curcumin, so much turmeric.
Sometimes when we bought it, it would either be called turmeric or curcumin.
Right.
So depending on, you know, the company or whatever, I suppose.
Well, turmeric is the spice, and the turmeric is going to be a less powerful form of it because they concentrate it and make it in curcumin. But there's another one of God's items you have to add to it to get the most powerful curcumin, and that is called pepper. Believe it or not, it's called pepperin. And you have to combine the two to get the really most, the biggest bang for your buck on the curcumin. So when I began, and by the way, I was at MD Anderson Cancer Center. I had melanoma at one time, and I realized I didn't want to get it back again. And MD Anderson Cancer Center is the premier cancer treatment place in the country. And that was back in the 80s when I went there, but that's before I was involved in the medicine I'm involved in now. But if you put in MD Anderson Cancer Center and put in curcumin, you will not believe the studies they have found on cancer. It causes the cancer cell to just basically go away. It decreases the inflammation. It's working on Alzheimer's. And I'm afraid that they're going to be taking it off the market. We've been getting rumors that about four different pharmaceutical companies are trying to patent it right now. And if they do, well, you're going to have a real hard time trying to get it.
Now, I understand that Senator John McCain, our real patriotic hero friend, I call him Mr. Zombie. But in any case, I understand that he's introduced legislation, co-sponsored legislation, for the government to have power and to be able to put restrictions over many of the herbs and vitamins that you and I are talking about today.
That's right. And if you want to see people get in the streets with pitchforks and torches, I think that's going to do it. Because I think people are going to say, no, excuse me, it is my body. I have the right to my body. I have the right to take what I want to take. But that's the reason I'm getting away from taking supplements. That's the reason I'm going toward raising my own items, having the herbs that I need, sprouts that give me those items that decrease cancer or whatever. Because I know that the day is coming when they're going to limit it. They have to. Too many people are getting well and staying well with herbs, vitamins, minerals, whatever. For instance, let me give you another example. Something that people desperately need, which is salt. But we think of salt as being that little girl with the yellow umbrella on the blue box, and it's iodized salt, Morton salt. That is not salt. That is a combination of sodium and chloride, two items together. Real salt that Scripture speaks of is totally different. And so we went to the Middle East and got the real salt that Scripture talks about, which is, you know, be the salt of the earth and it does not lose its savor. Well, iodized salt loses its savor. This other salt does not. It's called Himalayan salt. It comes from Pakistan, deep under the ground. They bring it out in chunks of this stuff and they grind it up, and it has 87 minerals in it. And you know what? You can pretty much eat it like you like to. You don't have to worry about the fact that it's going to build up in your body, you're going to get a salt overdose, because Himalayan salt has all the minerals that your body is craving.
Now, Joyce, you have these things at thepowerhour.com, some of these products, and thepowermall.com. We're running out of time, so I want to get the information to the folks how they can get this.
That's right. You can go to thepowermall.com. And I'm not trying to sell these items because they're sold in a lot of...
Well, I'm trying to sell them. I'm trying to sell them because I want people's health to improve. And I know my wife is alive because of this very kind of information. So that you do have these then on thepowerhour.com and powermall.com.
We do. And we say, praise you know, God. Vote with your dollars. Shop with the people you believe in. If you believe in China Central, if you believe in global companies, go buy from them. If you believe in what we're doing, buy from us. Buy from Tex. Put your dollars where you believe in. Vote with your dollars. And yeah, Wanda may very well be alive because you did that research. But most people don't do that. They go to the doctor, depend upon them, and they never get well. So let's get over this idea of we can't get well. We can be better tomorrow than we are today. And that's what I want to help show people at your seminar coming up.
Well, great. That's April the 10th, 2010. Just call us. 512-263-9780 or toll free 800-234-9673 to reserve your spot. Hey, Joy, it's been great having you as my guest today. And hey, would you be kind enough to stick around just a moment after I say goodbye to the friends on the air?
You got 100 on that test.
All right, because I think Wanda wants to say hello to you.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, Joyce Riley, she's been my guest, and I'm going to have her again and again because she's a great source of information. And the Bible says that even God's people perish if they have not knowledge. This is Tex Mars. My prayer is that you'll tune in the same time each week, either on the internet 24/7 or there at WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.